Word of God, see what He has for us this morning. It has been, as most of you know, we've been in a series. Took a little break for the Easter and the Resurrection Sunday. That was a wonderful time of fellowship. I'd have to say it's probably one of the fastest times we've ever gotten through a potluck. I don't know how that happened, but it was exceptional. But it was good food. There was plenty of it, and a powerful time of fellowship with one another. Let's press into the Word of God and start with some prayer. Father, we open ourselves up to You as we yield ourselves to You in the name of Jesus. We yield ourselves as a vessel of ministry for You, that You may speak to us, that You will speak through us, and that You will touch lives in and around our life, Lord. I pray that, Father, as we yield ourselves to You, that we will truly sense You and Your Holy Spirit working in and through our life, Lord. As we've pressed into You with our heart and with our attitude, we pressed into You with our finances, we pressed into You with every area of our life, now yielding ourselves to You to let Your Word speak to us, to be able to guide us in our deeds and our actions, to guide us in our thoughts and the things that go through our mind, to guide us in what we live, how we live every day. And Father, I pray that as we get this message into us, that we learn to be impressed with what's impressive to You, that we yield ourselves to that and not get caught up in following after that which is temporary or things that will not have a lasting, eternal impact, but that we seek You in the things that truly matter. And Father, we praise You for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Should have Margie come out here and get you guys all riled up like that. Shouting and screaming and laughing. Praise God. Well, let's talk about being impressed. Okay, being impressed with what matters. Okay, I don't know about you, but I would say that probably most people, probably all of us, have been impressed at some point by somebody or by something. Okay, we meet someone famous. You know, I met Hulk Hogan one time. That was one of, very impressive to me. This guy's arms were as big as, you know, bigger than my head kind of thing. Very impressive. We can be impressed by maybe someone that we know that has overcome a great challenge. Okay, and we're impressed by that. We don't know if we could have done that. Okay, I watched a video the other day of a young man who's 4 years old. His name was LJ Wilson. And he played a drum solo, okay, that made what I do after 20 years look like child's play. I mean, this kid was good at playing the drums at 4 years old. It was pretty spectacular, pretty impressive. You know, maybe we're impressed by or fascinated by a skill or an ability that somebody else has, okay, that we are deathly afraid to even try to engage in. Yeah, I was reminded the other day that public speaking, you know, something that I enjoy doing 3 times a week or however many, probably on average more than that, that public speaking actually ranks higher on a list of the greatest fears than things like death and failure and spiders and snakes. Okay, public speaking ranked up there. And yet, I would look at somebody who, you know, like a bookkeeper or an accountant or somebody who actually likes numbers and just be in awe of that person, because it's a different field. It's just something that I don't see myself. I can't get into that kind of a thing. You know, I think in life we're often captivated by the advances in technology. You know, the things that have changed over the course, you know, we could say 100 years, but definitely the last 20 or 30, things are just moving at such a clip that it's hard to even keep up. I think we're often stunned by, you know, maybe the moral decline that we've seen. Things start to stand out. That's an impression when something stuns you. It's like, I can't believe how things have changed. Okay, or maybe we're impressed by the divine intervention of the Holy Spirit in our life. We see things happening. The Holy, He loves to impress you, and He can do some pretty impressive things. Well, I wanted to ask a question, and here's where I started with myself, was, can you impress Jesus? Okay, my first thought was, Jesus is perfect. I mean, what if you're perfect, you have it all, you can do it all, there's this perfection personified. What could we possibly do that would fascinate Him? I mean, he already has it all. He already knows it all. So what is it that, you know, is there really anything that we could do that would impress him or fascinate him? Okay, but I got to thinking on whether or not that was an accurate thought or not. So I started digging into it, and I found that that's not quite the case. Okay, in fact, I found by studying the Bible that there are several instances in the Scriptures where Jesus was so impressed by somebody that it led to him literally stopping what he was doing and turning to whoever would listen and boast about this person. And I thought, those are encounters with Jesus. If I want to be like him, what was it that made him get to that point where he stops and was wowed by something that somebody did enough that he would boast about it? Okay, the way that Jesus lived and walked while he was on the earth in flesh form was a little bit different than maybe the way that we see things today. What impressed him might not be the same things that people are impressed with today. Like I said, we might be impressed with somebody's, you know, earthly abilities, or, you know, somebody's net worth, or, you know, a handheld computer or something like that might be impressive. But what kinds of things cause Jesus to brag about somebody? Okay, so let's look at a couple of conversations. I think I have two that I want to look at and see what these people did. What was in their life? What about them impressed Jesus? And I think we'll be able to see something in this. Let's start with Luke chapter 7. We'll start in the first verse of that chapter and read a few verses. Luke 7:1 says that, "Now when he," Jesus, "had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die," almost on the brink of death. And verse 3 says, "When he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this, for he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but just say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." And verse 9 says that when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. And he turned him about, and he said unto the people that followed him, "I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. Something about this man impressed Jesus to the point that he turns to the people standing in a crowd, and he says, "Did you notice what I just noticed?" In other words, did you pick up on that? I'm paraphrasing it, but he's saying something about this guy is worth me stopping and telling you about it. Okay, but before I get to what was impressive about that guy, I want to show you a couple of things that Jesus was not impressed by. Okay, in the first three verses of Luke, it said in 7:1, said, when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loves our nation, and he has built us a synagogue. And then in verse 6 it says, then Jesus went with them. Okay, Jesus went with them, but there's no mention in this passage or in any of the other Gospels that tell this same story where Jesus marveled at what these guys told him about the man's reputation. Okay, the men proclaimed that this centurion was worthy of this miracle. They pointed out that he was a good guy. Okay, he was a patriot. He was loyal to Israel. He had funded the building of a synagogue for the Jews to worship in. He had a good reputation and a powerful influence on all the people around him. These guys came to Jesus with their story ready to impress him so that he would come and heal their friend's servant who was about to die. In other words, in their minds, they thought that being a devout Jew and having lots of money, having a lot of loyalty to the country, would persuade Jesus to come quickly. Okay, but they failed to acknowledge that Jesus didn't just heal the rich and famous. That did not impress Jesus so that he went with them. Jesus healed lepers who had been cast out of the city. Jesus saved lying and cheating tax collectors. Jesus was impressed by a sinful woman that washed his feet with her tears and wiped them off with her own hair. That's what impressed Jesus. Prestige, okay, high esteem, money, even good deeds weren't things that moved Jesus to heal and to save and to deliver. That's good news for us. So I don't know about you guys. I'm not real prestigious. I'm not real rich. I'm not famous. I'm none of those things. So if Jesus came to do these things to the sinners and the lepers and the people that truly need him, then he's here for me and he's here for you. Jesus didn't stop when they told him how impressive of a guy this was and say, "Wow, you're right. He sounds like a very renowned individual. I should put everything else aside and go and heal this man's servant." Jesus didn't do that. There was something else that stirred Jesus to go with these men to the centurion's house. For starters, the very fact that he had asked for help is what got the ball rolling. But I want you to see what it was that really caught the Lord's eye. What was it that really caught his attention about this man? Starting in verse 6 in Luke, it says that Jesus went with them. And when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him saying, "Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come to thee, but just say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. I say to one, go, and he goes. Another, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." He does it. And verse 9 says that when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. That's the key word that got me looking at this whole passage. Jesus stopped and marveled at another human being. Why? Jesus turns about and he says unto the people that followed him, "I say unto you, I have not found so great faith." The centurion's faith surpassed anything that Jesus had found among the Jews, because it combined a loving concern for another person with a great trust in Jesus. Think about that. It combined a loving concern for somebody else along with faith in Jesus, a trust in Jesus. It was a selfless act that impresses Jesus. You know, many people will go out of their way to approach Jesus on their own behalf. But not many will go to this extent for a friend. Okay, maybe for a son or a daughter, but for a servant, okay, it was unheard of. This man's humility, combined with a childlike faith in Jesus, caused Jesus to stop and marvel at this man. To marvel simply means to be amazed. Okay, in the scriptures, most often it's used in the Gospels. Okay, and that term for marvel or amazed is the same word. Okay, and it generally describes amazement, most often relating to a supernatural event. Something that wasn't man-made, in other words, something that was spiritual in nature. Okay, for example, the word marveled, okay, literally that word is what it says that the people did at Jesus' miracles. They marveled at what he did. They marveled, it says, at his resurrection when he rose from the dead. The crowd was amazed to hear the apostles speaking in a different language on the day of Pentecost. Okay, this amazement that Jesus had towards this man shows us that childlike faith is supernatural. It is beyond our own ability to have that sort of faith. Okay, and that supernatural things are what impressed Jesus. This man did something that wasn't just human. It wasn't done out of selfish motives. This was something that was a prompting of God for this man to come to Jesus, to approach him, to heal one of his servants. You might recall the story, if you remember the folks that they brought their friend to Jesus to be healed, but when they got to Jesus, the house where Jesus was speaking, there was such a crowd, their friend that they were carrying on a stretcher, they couldn't figure out how to get through the people to Jesus to get him an audience with the Lord. So they go up on the roof and they cut a hole in the roof and they lower their friend down on a stretcher in front of Jesus. Okay, if you look up that passage, in Luke 5:20 it says that when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto them, "Man, thy sins are forgiven thee," and the man was instantly healed. Faith that manifests into an action is an amazing thing. Okay, Jesus was so impressed by it. When this centurion displays this childlike faith, he takes the time to turn to the crowd and tell them about it. Did you notice what just happened? It made sense to him. He pointed out so that we would be able to see it. That's something that, for me, when I see that in the scriptures and I see Jesus stop and point something out, I pay attention to that. Because there's something there that I want to take note of. Why? What was it that made Jesus stop and marvel at this man? You know, another passage of scripture that tells us about things that impress Jesus is in Matthew chapter 11. It's when Jesus pays a vocal honorary tribute to John the Baptist. Okay, everybody's heard of John, right? John was in prison, okay, at the time. He had sent some of his disciples to Jesus to find out if this really was the Messiah that they had been waiting for. John knew the Messiah was coming. He knew the scriptures. Here's what it says in Matthew chapter 11. It says, when these men came to him asking, "Are you the Christ?" Jesus answers and says unto them, "Go and show John," in other words, go back to prison, "and tell John these things which you do see and hear. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who shall not be offended in me." But then Jesus points out something about John to that crowd. He mused over John's willingness to speak the truth, to confront sin, to be bold with the proclamation of the gospel or God's way, regardless of the consequences. Faith in God is what motivated John the Baptist. He lived his life as unto God. It was all about him. Faith is it's an absolute conviction of something that you may not have even seen with your eyes. Okay, it's a bold confidence in God and something that He has said. Okay, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 7, the very next verse, it says, as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John. In other words, He just tells these guys, go back and tell John all the things you see. Now He turns to the crowd, anybody who would hear, because He had a point to make about John. Again, take note. So He began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken in the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. In other words, that wasn't John. For this is he. Whoops, in verse 9 he said, but what went ye out for to see? A prophet? And I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. In verse 11, he says the commendation. But I say unto you that among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. What a commendation. Fancy clothes. Okay, being able to speak eloquently like a prophet. Okay, expressing those things of God, obviously that wasn't what impressed Jesus. If you remember, John wore clothes made out of camel's hair, right? Okay, kind of the opposite of that soft raiment. Okay, this is worse than polyester, right? Just straight polyester. Okay, it was itchy stuff. It was a hardcore, rough outfit that John wore. So he's saying, you didn't go out there to see a guy in fancy clothes. You went out to see John, a man dressed in camel's hair. Yet Jesus saw something in John that was worthy of this powerful commendation. See, John was very well known as a prophet in that region, and for good reason. The people knew that John was in prison because he had confronted King Herod about sleeping with his niece, who was also his brother's wife, whom he had convinced to divorce his brother so that he could marry her. Okay, that king was in a wrong relationship, and John didn't put up with it. If you saw that in verse 7, it says, as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken in the wind? Okay, when Jesus stated that John was not just a reed shaken in the wind, he was referring to John's righteous character. Okay, he was referring to John's reputation as a preacher who refused to compromise his convictions. In other words, a reed blowing in the wind is common. You're going to see it every day. But this is not like a reed blowing in the wind. John is anything but common. Okay? He was not ordinary. He was not average. He was extraordinary. And so Jesus pointed something out about that man. John was bold. That's what he had. It was boldness. He preached the commandments of God without fear of what people would think. He never yielded to just popular opinion and went along with that. Herod's sin was ignored by the Jewish authorities, but it was never ignored even for a moment by John. He just didn't blow it off like it was no big deal. He rose up against it like a rock, stood against it, showing absolute loyalty to God and His Word. And he confidently stood with God against sin, even though it cost him his life. John's relentless faith in God and his willingness to teach and to preach, to live out the truths of God, was impressive enough to Jesus that this is a unique individual. So he stops and says, there has never been another one born that is as great as John in this way. You know, that's the commendation I want to get from the Lord. That Gary, you preached what I wanted you to preach. You said what I wanted you to say, regardless of the consequences. That's a commendation I want. I pay attention to the conversations that Jesus had with people like this, where he's boasting about John the Baptist, how he stood up for what was right and didn't back down. Okay, or how he stopped to praise the centurions in front of a whole crowd because this man had faith in him combined with a compassion for somebody else. It tells me what was important to the Lord. Okay, and if it was important then, it's important now. I want to be impressed with the things that impress Jesus. Okay, they're seriously different than the things that we're often wowed by in this world today. But if things like humility, visible compassion for my friends, faith, boldness to say what needs to be said, if these things are what impresses the Lord, then I want to be like Jesus. I want to be impressed with what really matters. Father God, we're praising you this morning. You're a king above all kings. Talk about impressive. Lord Jesus, you are impressive. The way you dealt with life, the way you walked through and not got distracted by the things that wanted to pull you in this direction or to get distracted by public opinion, to get distracted by the views of others. You said and did what you needed to. You pointed out that that's important to you to live that way, to walk as a life that honors God by upholding what you uphold. You pointed out about this man's faith, that it was supernatural, that went above that which is normal, just like what John did was above that which is normal. Lord, I pray that you put in each one of our hearts to live impressed by what really matters, to live impressed with what stands out to you, things that you would boast about, people whose traits and characteristics are things that would glorify you and that you were impressed with, that we will see those things as something that we are impressed with as well. I know, Lord, that'll help us in every area of our life as we go through, that we're not being pulled aside or not being led astray, but we're sticking to the truth. We're seeing what life through the ways that you would see it. And Father, I know it's only possible because of your Spirit within us. So I praise you for that. Lead us and guide us by your Holy Spirit this week. Let us walk differently this week because we are seeking to be more like Jesus. Father, we praise you for it. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, we say, Amen.